Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Comic Chronicle. I am your host, Society's Metahuman slash Mutant, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today a very, very special guest. I'm going to go ahead and give him a call on here on the good old-fashioned Skype. See how well this works. Oh, give him 1 second here. So you can tell, guys, we are always a professional podcast on here. Hello? Hello?
Hey, sorry about that.
Hey, you're fine, man. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the crowd. Yeah, just, you could just say voice actor, Mass Effect. I mean, however, whatever you think is worthy. I mean, to me, it's greatness. So, I don't know. How would you describe greatness?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, most everybody's going to know me at this point as the voice of Scott Ryder in Mass Effect Andromeda.
That's true. That's true. I mean, and with that, I mean, who knows what else can come your way? I mean, there's about a, who knows? I mean, like... Yeah, you probably know, but you can't say anything. That's the thing.
No, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't have anything else on the horizon.
Get out.
Gilgamesh and Final Fantasy 15, and mm-hmm. that came out about a month ago. And I did some work for something that I can't talk about. I don't know when that's coming out, but it was, I'm going to be very honest, it's very minor work. So it was Neo, nothing to stand out.
Okay.
But, yeah,
damn. Who knows then what else they can do? I mean, Mass Effect reaches a whole boatload of people, so I mean, you'd never count it out just yet.
Yeah, it was a great game to work on, and if I agreed to play with them again, that'd be the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a lot of irons in the fire right now, so we will learn. I think we will learn more at E3.
Oh, that's a good hint to give everybody. Like E3.
Oh, that's not a hint. I'm
oh yeah. Well, it's like. That's true. It's a good kind of like suspenseful thing because you never know what can happen at E3. You never can with these. Like you just never know till it happens. But I got a few questions about you, man. I mean, you probably get a lot, but voice acting. How'd you get into it? I mean, I'm currently going to school at the moment for it in the Phoenix Film Institute. Little shout out to them. But how did you get into voice acting?
Like a lot of other people, I fell into it. When I came out of university, it wasn't known as like a career or a job the way it is now because of because people like yourself and the internet and the kind of popularity of voice actors being, for lack of a better way of putting it, celebrities at this point.
Yeah.
I love the science that.
Yeah. Your resume is huge then in the world of voice acting. Huge. It's like if you're. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Northern Illinois about 40, 60 miles out of Chicago in DeKalb County. So, like, I know definitely all about it from people that I knew that were up in the business, too. So. Oh, yeah. DeKalb. Well, I grew up in Sycamore, but everyone really just knows DeKalb County. If you know Sycamore, that would be damn amazing. Ooh.
Yeah, northwest suburbs of Chicago. And then went to school down the state and then I moved to Chicago. Yeah.
Damn. That's really great. Wow, yeah, that's great. That's like the first time. Like I'm like, wow, someone actually knows. Like I wore a bag from Sycamore once. It was Sycamore Spartans, and some guy, he had to be about 67, 68 years old. He's like, oh, Sycamore, I remember that place. That's so cool. I'm like, how long have you been here? Oh, 50 years. I'm like, am I going to look like you at the end? Because you're pretty tan. Like, I'm in Arizona right now. Like, oh, God.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. My brother went to school. He finished up. He started shooting at the University of Chicago, but then he finished up in
Oregon. Wow. Yeah. Small world. Wow, that just really proves it, man. Yeah. How did you really kind of, so you kind of explain how you landed Mass Effect, but did that just kind of show up at the table? Like, was it an agent booking sort of thing, or did someone go to you like, hey, would you want to be part of a game or something?
No. It is rarely to never that anybody just comes out and asks me to take part of something. Yeah, I was an audition through my agent here in Los Angeles. I arrived here in late May, About 2 years ago, I showed up here. My family showed up about 3 weeks after that. And then a few months, like, I got here late May, and if I remember right, the audition for Mass Effect showed up in early July.
Ooh.
And then they called me about the gig in early August. So, yeah, it was the first thing I booked when I got out here.
Wow. Like, and immediately, too, like, people would kill for that, too. Like, then again, I mean, voice acting, it can just drop on your lap all of a sudden. And that's what a lot of people have said. I mean,
it does seem like it's out of nowhere, but I have been doing this for quite a while. It's like, I don't have the resume that Frida has or some of the other people that work on the game. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, it's a great pleasure and honor to work with and all these people. They're wonderful. It's a surprise.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been at it for a while. And I think
yeah.
But then, you know, Frida and I weren't any name or something like that, and I think that kind of played to our advantage in booking the roles of scouts or writers, because they did something newer, fresher, something like that, and if it was a name attached to it, and it'd stand out, and, you know, so I think that was kind of a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah. And that's a great thing, too. I mean, it's always great to see the people, like, it's not meant to be an insult or anything, like, you know, the little-known people. Get them and bring them in on these big projects. I mean, because Mass Effect is not a little-known game. Yeah, it's been out of the market for a little bit, but everyone still knows it. Like, it's big in the nerd community, I guess you could say. Oh, yeah.
So, Beast Boy, if I remember right, the story goes, Andrea Romano cast him because it was his first thing, it was his first, like, voice acting gig.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard his audition, and Andrea Romano, wonderful director of casting, I mean, she's just, you know, Emmys upon Emmys, she holds up tables around the house with
Yeah, that's his ear. He's one of those. No pun intended. I mean, yeah, like that's a beautiful thing to hear. I mean, it really is. Like, you know, you hear about it, you know, you see these big names that kind of stay in, and then every now and then, like, these new people, like that example alone, like, be like, hey, these newer people, let's get them in. I mean, like, you got the big names, like, you know, you got Kevin Conroy, you got Tara Strong, and I was like, basically, yeah, like you said, yeah, they're the ones who stay in the game forever, and then every now and then new ones peek out, and then they're widely known. Like, I talked to one now, he's widely known, Cameron Bowen. I don't know if you know him or not. He was Young Justice Season 2 Robin, and he's now Red Hood in the Injustice game.
Yeah,
fantastic guy, little known guy, and now he got put in Young Justice, and for voice acting at least, he's going on. And so then now he's like getting video games and everything like that, because they gave him a shot. That seems to be like kind of hope, you hope you can get that. And that's what a lot of people say in my school, too, that I go to. They say, just kind of hope for your shot. But do work, but then hope for your big shot, and hopefully you get the good name.
Well, I think bigger than just hoping for a shot is positioning yourself to take that shot. And when the opportunity arises, because you're not always in charge of that opportunity being there.
That's true.
But you need to be prepared to capitalize on that opportunity. You need to be able to show up on whatever day it is, to do whatever you need to do, and bring your A game. And even then, it may not be your job. Mm-hmm. Or whatever reason, because you're too tall, too short, whatever it is. But when you get in that room, or wherever it is you're going, be prepared to bring your A game. Mm-hmm. Just be the best you, and bring the best that you can. Because a lot of times, people kind of miss up, you know, miss, or they stumble on those opportunities because, you know, they're not ready, they're unprepared or underprepared, mm-hmm. or something like that. Yes, you can have a bad day, absolutely. But that is when I think, you know, a certain sense of professionalism and craft comes through.
Oh, yeah.
You may be sick, you may be feeling something. Who knows what happened before you got into that room to present something or to audition or whatever it is. Check it at the door, show up and go to work. You know, you're not always going to have the opportunity to create art. But that's okay, because a lot of times craft will get you through. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine a while ago, she does like motivational stuff and all sorts of things in Chicago. She asked, like, what do? When you just don't feel inspired and it's just not happening, what do you do? And I got really kind of cynical a little bit, like reading that, and I said, you kind of show up and go to work.
No.
Because you just don't have a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Set your schedule and say, yeah, I'm bad at this too. You know, I'm really bad at motivationally and self-motivating, even though I kind of, I work for myself and I work from home a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You show up and you just go to work, because you don't get to make that, I always put it in like carpentry terms, you don't get to make that gorgeous table with the, you know, oak-like, you know, kind of like filigree on the side, mm-hmm. every time. Sometimes you show up and you make a table. And it'll probably be a good table if you just show up and go to work. You're not always making art. Sometimes you just got to make that table. And you pump out tables. And every now and then you get that opportunity, that commission, that something, mm-hmm. to really go to town and make just a fantastic table. But other days, yeah, sometimes you just make it a table. And if you, you know, really, if you work at it and you bring that kind of sense of work and craftsmanship and professionalism every time, people will recognize that. And I think sometimes that kind of craft is more useful than, you know, the flash of brilliance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of work ethic can also bring about those flashes of brilliance, you know.
Yeah.
The idea that you come up with a billion ideas and you fail, you know, a billion minus one times. But
yeah.
That one time that gets that big thing to happen, or at least that one thing that you hold on to and go, yeah, I screwed up a bunch.
that you put it way better than I think I would. I mean, that's wow. Man, you know what? Anybody ever tell you should go on TED Talks?
No. I just talk voiceover and I borrow stories and stuff from anything and everything that I've ever read. And you know what, like teaching engenders it too, where you just gather stuff and you go, I don't know why I'm gonna use this, but someday this is gonna be that one opportunity, that one student, or having kids. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be that one time where I'm able to go, this is the story that get through to my son.
Yeah.
Or my daughter.
Either one.
Yeah, or that one student. And just, so that's where a lot of this stuff comes from.
Damn. Well, you left the host dumbfounded. I'm not going to lie. We're not dumbfounded. I'm just, like, astounded at the moment with that inspiration. Not going to lie. Like, it usually never happens. So.
Cool.
No problem, man. I got a question. What was it like recording for this? Like, in Mass Effect, like, was it... Did you record a bunch of lines per day? Because obviously, when you take on this role, it's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. It is a lot. It is, there are certain sections that are definitely the definitive situation of craft versus art.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good take, or, based on this, I think this will slot in really nicely.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you're coming up with variations on the theme of, I should go. Or, why did you come to Andromeda? you know, which you say any number of times throughout the course of the game, as you talk to hundreds of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they just got to keep it in their head because they're working with that person later. Or never at all, who knows?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. There are days where it's just, all right, effort sounds, here we go. We need some cold breathing. We need some hot breathing. We need some running breathing. Now we need poison breathing. And that's an actual thing, poison breathing.
Oh, Jesus, wow. Poison breathing, what? You felt kind of undermined? Like, did you feel like that was it? Like, you're like, God, these guys are so much better than me. Like, what the hell? Yeah, you just never know. It'd be like, we don't like you no more, get out.
better go to work. You know, you think of Peter Dinklage in Destiny.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was an expensive get, and they got him, and they had to change it out, and all sorts of stuff happened. I was
I heard of him. Oh,
and
Jesus.
What happened when it all came out. He's like, I just want that book. He says, I know we'll never get it.
No.
But I want to know that, you know? And like the Dinklage part, you know, and working with him and getting at why the changeover to Ring and Nolan is wonderful. You know,
yeah.
Maybe it's because he's also available. All sorts of stuff. And listening to Mr. North's work, too, throughout the latter portions of like the Destiny expansions, you just go, oh, you know, he can also get away with anything they give him.
Mm.
You know, they trust him.
Yeah, and it gets you in your head too of don't mess up on this, because if you mess up on this thing, like you and you, who knows what else you messed up on that they don't like. This could be that could be the final nail in the coffin. Like
and so this all sort of stuff that could be in your head at the end of the day, and I guess that the professionalism kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never hear, I may think of these things and these may be concerns as I, you know, make a living doing this. It's the same concern any of us have.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bleed into the work. It's okay. Thank you, though. You know, she's always sweet like that.
It's always caring. That's nice. I mean, it's nice. That's what I, almost one of the reasons why I got into voice acting or trying to get into is from people I've talked to, friends and everything, and including yourself, it's basically like a big family. That's the nice part about it. In any project, they're kind of like your friends, and they're like your family. They actually care about each other. It's not like, all right, let's go to work, do our work. Oh, bye, see you, never see you, never hear me.
Yeah, and you do also never see them, you know?
Yeah, true, but like, you kind of get what I mean. Like, you know, they won't, like, not speaking to each other, like, not in the game, but like speaking outside of work or something like that. Like, you might do some of that, or you never know.
Is that there's a certain, I don't know if it's people playing at a certain level, like to really make a work out of it. And when you see the same people over and over again, you know they're good.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're doing it. And so, you know, you're in the right company, and everybody's usually very, you know, very open and friendly and happy to see you, even if you're auditioning for the same project and for the same role. I had something, you know, months ago where it was something I'd never done before, which was like a shootout. I showed up to the venue, and there were three other gentlemen there, all auditioning for the same thing, that would record right then and there.
Oh, wow.
They auditioned all of us one at a time, said to the winner, it's like, hey, you've got the gig, and sent everybody else home.
Wow.
And
Oh yeah, that's got to be like, wow. Yeah, that's got, you feel some guilt, but then you're also feeling like, I need to beat you, but then also, I don't want to beat you because this is like intense one on one. Like, it's intense.
At the same time, it's like, it's not up to me.
No, it's not.
It's up to somebody else's ear in the room. Mm-hmm. I just have to show. Because it'll keep you sane and not depressed and thinking about that audition hours, days, weeks after the fact. Because guess what? You've got another audition later today or tomorrow or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's like an
That's
and consider
wow.
that the performance. And if they like it, if your ideas jive with their ideas of what the, you know, the quote unquote play should look like, then they'll bring you on board. If not, you know, maybe not. Maybe you'll surprise them with something, or you'll do something that they didn't think of, and it's not right for this role, but maybe for something else or something in the future. Just do something that makes you feel good and right and, you know, strong with it. And just leave it in that room.
Yeah.
But you got, you know, but you really have to show up and commit to that. And that's something I said, wow, that's fantastic. Yes, that's a great idea. It still is challenging to do.
Oh, definitely. It's always challenging, no matter what you. It's not like it's. People think it's easy peasy. You go in and do a couple lines. It's always going to be a challenge. It's always going to be some stress and. But it's, in the end, it's fun, and it's a great job to have.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. It's a dream job. People are like, well, they're voice actors. They're not anything. Like, are you a bloody idiot? Like, I mean, come on. It's equally hardworking, if not more hard. In my opinion, I think voice actors, depending on what the gig is, almost do more work because they have to do all these emotions and convince it and put it all into a voice and emotions and like sounds, put it all into there. While regular acting, you'd see like the facial movements, they can put it in a face, but you can't do that in voice acting, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some of that, and I think also too is there's an advantage of it, but there's the longevity of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, yeah, they've been around a long time.
People have been around for decades and decades and decades. And some of the people whose work I listened to when I was a kid, I had the chance to meet and or work with, things like that. But there are stories of people, actors, I refer sometimes as face actors, you know, camera actors, who hit that point where they're being asked to perform for stuff.
Yeah.
Would you do this role? Would you play this or whatever? You look at my scripts, do you want to come play? Which is like the dream.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, Rob Paulsen, you know, who everybody knows and loves from a billion different things, two different generations of, you know, of Ninja Turtles and Animaniacs and all sorts of stuff. You know, Rob is still killing it. And he's fantastic. Everybody knows and loves his work. There are people writing and directing him now, they grew up on his work, you know.
Which is surreal. That's
And I guarantee you, he walks into places to audition. And again, there'll be somebody there on the other side of the glasses, Mr. Paulsen. I've watched you and you know, following your work, you know, for a very long time, you know, since I was a kid. It's a pleasure to meet you. I love your work. I love your work. And he'll say thank you. And that person in this other class will go, but can you do this? I don't know. I've only listened to your entire body of work over the course of the last 15 to 20 years. But I don't know if you can do this. Can you audition for me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's got to show up and do his thing. And that is something that I think voice actors wind up running into daily. You know, unless you're like the celebrity status or they create something around or for you or for a character that you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're just going to run into every day. It's so much about the auditioning versus the actual job.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, it's you just come in and knock it out of the park, too. I mean, it's not like you come in and you do bad. I mean, you can come in and like, yeah, like him, you can come in and just knock it out of the park. Like, yeah, I can probably do it. Like,
yeah, and you know, and sometimes his version of whatever it is doesn't match up.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't get all of them. Yeah, that's one thing they teach you on day one, too. You don't get all of them. Don't expect to win every single thing you walk into. Wow. Question about Mass Effect, man. Have you ever heard about the game before you got signed on? Like, are you a gamer yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
I played the original trilogy. Oh,
wow. Really?
I got a 360. So I've been a fan of Mass Effect for a very long time.
Wow.
I remember seeing
Yeah, oh yeah, you're like, I know this, and then did they know, like, did you tell them, like, hey, I'm a big fan already, and everything like that, or did you kind of go in, like,
and then she just talks about the scene. You know, she knew, and I was like, yeah, Caroline, I do. Thank you.
Yeah, this is, I'm a nerd. I accept this. I know what I'm going walking into here. Yeah.
Yep, and so she learned pretty early on, oh, giant nerd, okay. I can get this stuff and just talk about the scene or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can tell the difference, at least in my opinion, and a couple others. You can tell the difference between someone who comes in to do the job and someone who's a fan of what they're doing, because there's a lot of, there's extra flair in it. There's extra, like, more care, there's more companionship and caring to what they're doing. And the fact is, you know what Mass Effect is? Like, that's amazing. It's like they couldn't have picked a better person. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a dream. It was really, really cool. I remember getting the call, hey, they're asking you about your availability for this role this day, and they changed the names for the auditions.
Oh, of course. Always standard.
So, I was like, wow, that's really cool. Okay, and I went home, and I listened back to my audition, and I thought, really? Bad? Okay, fine, whatever. And then I looked over the other scripts, kind of seeing if there were clues in the other scripts as to
oh, you dissected it too. Oh.
And, yeah, I realized, and I looked at the other scripts and I had realized, wait a minute, all of these other characters in these other scripts are talking to my character. Uh-oh. This may be a better character. And I remember, like, emailing and checking in with my agent and, or demos, because I don't think this seems like a lot, and I just got here.
Yeah, you want to be like, can maybe do this better, like, yeah,
well,
that's,
this imposter syndrome thing, somebody sent out a brilliant, they had put it on Twitter the other day, a brilliant GIF or GIF if you're, you know, wrong.
Yeah, what you mean? This is wrong.
And it's people sitting at a nice dinner table with, you know, glasses and wine and champagne and stuff. And people are dressed nicely. And there's a cat sitting at the table looking around wide-eyed. And the caption simply was, imposter syndrome. That's exactly it. And so I'm the cat at the table at this point, asking, you know, this can't be right.
No. Like, I just moved here, I'm kind of, you're not green, but, like, to the area and everything in this new world, you can sort of say you're green in a way, because LA is, like, is a mammoth to conquer.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that there's, and I've had to learn this too, you know, we're talking about bring your A game and the graph, things like that, all that stuff translates.
Mm-hmm.
Percentages being the number of people taking all of the work.
Yeah.
The percentage of people taking all of the work, the percentage of people making a living, and the percentage of people struggling and hanging on, things like that. So the numbers get bigger, but the percentages are the same. And the trick is trying to weasel your way and work your way into, you know, those different percentages in the different fields. The numbers are bigger and different.
Yeah, yeah. That's you just can't clarify things anymore. Like, you are just on point with everything, man. Like, no joke. Like, you are the inspirational guy. Like, you should. Are you still doing anything for teaching for voice acting at all?
No.
No?
No. In the LA market, there are people that I would go to, you know.
Oh, really? Oh.
And you know, maybe someday when I feel like I have more of a resume and clout, and when some of those people maybe have passed away.
This is straight to the point on their shit. I mean, because like they gotta be dead first. I mean,
nobody retires.
No.
So maybe, but as of right now, no.
Okay. Well, like, when that day comes, I will be the first one in line to be there. Even if I make it big somehow, and if I don't, definitely be there. But even if I make it and do a few good things, still, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be like, this man, Tom Taylorson. He's like, I know him. Like, he's very inspiring. Like, you guys are gonna love him. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Oh, yeah. I bet. And they're like, yeah, this guy used to go here, and he was teaching everything. Like, he's now in a video game. Like, what? Like, you're this legendary. Oh yeah, it's the biggie. Yeah, it's the biggie. I've seen some merchandise. I've seen Sarah Ryder and everything else, man. When are we gonna get Alex Ryder? Do you know? Mm-hmm.
Or upcoming merch list, they saw a Funko Pop Scott, and then there is supposedly a McFarlane Toys Scott Ryder statue coming out in like August.
Ooh.
But yeah, those are the only Scotts.
Okay, well, it's still something. I mean, here's a test on your fandom. Do you have that Omniblade like replica that they have anywhere in where you live?
No, I do not have the
Omni. No? Oh, come on, man.
I have the. Let's see. I have the N7 zip-up hoodie.
Okay.
The folks at BioWare were supposed to be the 2 gave to me.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, that one you wear around or like frame up, like what's that? That's something very special.
Yeah, I love that darn thing. A couple people said stuff like, hey, nice to meet you. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It is an accessory. Oh, mostly like clothing stuff. I have a lot of toy stuff.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because, I mean, come on. If something comes out on your character, you're probably going to want to get it. I mean.
I'm going to get the statue. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So,
they have Octodad plushies, and I got those when they came out. But, yeah, this is a whole new level of strange for me. Like, talking to you on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That anybody would give a rat's ass.
Hey, we do. I mean... That needs to be printed out in every collector store on a poster. And every comic store on a poster. Even at cons. That should be like on the front entrance. That right there. Be like...
Bring you joy. Yeah,
because otherwise, like myself, I'm guilty. I think we're all guilty. We're like, oh my god, I need this. And like you just pick it up and everything like that. Like, yeah. We're kind of all guilty of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. Well, thank you, man, for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. An absolute pleasure.
No more questions or anything? Yeah, I'm happy to... No.
No, I got everything I could say. Like, there's just... Awesome. There's, like, so much I could ask, like, in this so minimum amount of time. Because, like, I could talk to you for about a week or something like that. Like, in all honesty, like...
Sure.
Like, oh, you know what? Here's one. What was your favorite moment that you think you've had while recording? Like, was it, if you did in recording sessions with other people? I mean, because Clancy Brown, I looked on that sheet, he was on there, like, pretty yeah, big name.
So we were there, Frida and I were there to shoot some B-roll for some promotional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From BioWare, as we were kind of on our way in, and Frida and I were waiting, we're sitting there, and it's like, all right, let's just sit down, keep our shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Just there's Clancy, and he comes out, and he's just so nice and kind to us and said hello. It was like, you know, it's like someone's dad was there at the studio, and I've been watching that gentleman all of my life.
Oh God, yeah. Oh.
Explorers Wanted contest.
Oh.
And meeting with Kyle and Carrie and going out to dinner with them. They were awesome. On that same day, Danielle was there, Ventra. She was finishing her last session, so it was so cool to like see her and she comes out and never met before, but there were hugs. You know, that's voice actor. You know, we never see each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've never seen each other at all before. But she's like, oh my god, it's so great to meet the people who I've been hearing through my headsets and so, you know, before, like the better part of a year.
Yeah.
So that was a treat. There was a day we lost about 15 minutes because I had a laughing fit. I had a giggle fit. I couldn't do anything. I stuck about 15 minutes. That saves on the hard drive somewhere. I know where engineer has that.
Oh, that it gets released somewhere.
To
Oh, now you're testing my hardcore knowledge. Wow. Yeah, I mean, nothing bad happens in Sweden, so, I mean, he's probably still fine. I mean,
yeah, and there's always something. If it's not, you know, Battlefield 1 or World War II thing, he might be also working, because he knows the, kind of like the EA and BioWare family. Well, he's probably been working on the Battlefront games of Star Wars, so.
Which look good.
There's a lot of different moments throughout the course of the sessions that yeah.
are memorable to me. Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Now you got me thinking. I'm like, oh, all right. Games. I mean, obviously you're a gamer. Obviously. What would be your franchise next? You think you'd like to tackle if you can? I mean, like everything aside, what would be your next role you'd like to play in, or like any series you'd like to play in? Oh, wow.
I've just been playing their stuff since, like, Lost Vikings, you know, in the
90s. Yes.
Honor and Pleasure would be something in Overwatch or whatever, but I'm yeah. not for them for other stuff, you know, but nothing kicked in, and that's fine. But it takes special, I think it really takes something special because of what they're doing for Overwatch. It's going to be, like, some very particular. I'd love to work with Blizzard. I just thought a little while ago, I grew up on Star Wars. I would love to work on a Star Wars game.
Oh, God.
Something. And it's like, for the first time in my life, that is actually, more than ever before, a real possibility to be a part of something Star Wars. You know, because of all the stuff they're making right now.
Yeah, like... Who knows? Battlefront 3, maybe you could be in that.
There's so much Star Wars out there.
Oh, that yeah?
Cool, you know, and so it'd be cool to work with something like that. But yeah, game-wise, I don't know. I think the next thing for me is going to be, I haven't done it in a while, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. I did a voice session sometime last year or whatever, you know, in one of the helmets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, you know, that's, I got to get back in the suit. I haven't done that since sometime in the 2000s with a couple things, a few different projects in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get back in the suit. And, performance capture, motion cap, all that stuff. So,
how is
a
that?
Project in that would be great.
How is that, by the way? Just very quickly, like, how's it doing in that suit? No one's ever told me about how it is working in mocap and stuff like that.
It is cool and weird all at the same time, and it's a real beautiful mesh of film acting, on-camera acting, voice acting, and theater acting, because it's your whole body. You don't know where the camera's going to be. You cannot alternate, you cannot change your performance or tweak it knowing the framing of the shot. You don't know what the frame of the shot's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole body has to be into the moment and present. If it is not, then animators have to go back and, like, reanimate portions of your body that weren't connected in that moment, you know? All of that's right there. Because we spent a bit of time doing, dubbing over the timing and performances of the motion capture actors for Mass Effect. That was recorded in Canada.
And Vancouver?
Edmonton, I think.
Okay.
And we would wind up having, borrowing their timing, sometimes, but mostly not seeing their performance, and then doing it that way. There were, like, two different people playing Scott Ryder. Both good, both very different. And then sometimes I was dubbing over the female, Sarah Ryder.
Yeah.
Motion capture actor.
That was
whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever was necessary. Mm-hmm. And then the directors, the mocap directors and the voice directors, and of course the audio engineers, and my performance to come up with that moment of Scott or Sarah or whoever.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, you know, it's always one of those weird things to say, yeah, I've always particularly saying I'm the voice of Scott Ryder, because there's so much that makes up the whole character, you know, the writing to begin with.
And, oh, that,
and
yeah.
That stuff.
That's wow. That one, I heard that it's tough, but it also is fun too. So that's yeah. That's oh god, yeah. That's gonna come in.
Yeah.
Which kind of you get lonely and then you're like working and that, but this wow. Thank you, man, though. Thank you for taking your time, though. Sorry about the stuff that happened and whatnot. Like, you know, things happen, sadly.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Things happen
to
my end, too, so
sweet. Any plugs, man, you want to do? Or anything you want to give a shout out to? Anybody? Anywhere they can find you on social media?
Beer, video games.
Classic.
And I don't have anything else to plug right now. There are some wonderful followers on Twitter who are finding me in the California Neighbor Pass radio spots for for University of Hollywood. And then, yes, on Hyundai. So, that is Scott Ryder on Hyundai.
That's badass. Not gonna lie.
That was fun.
Oh, wow.
The audiobook of the novelization of the film. So cool.
Did you see the movie beforehand or no?
No.
Oh, shit. Scott Ryder, guys. You can find him on Hyundai now. No. Thank you, man. It is astounding to have you here, and your work is legendary, and it stands alone in a good way. Not a standalone in the corner type of way. Standalone in, like, up there among greats, at least in my opinion, because fantastic. And if I'm ever in the LA area, I'm going to hit you up, and then if you can say yes or no, obviously, but I'll treat you to dinner. Dinner on me for everything you've done. Thank you, man. And you have a good one, okay?
You do, man. Thank you, you too.
Thank you, man. Tom Taylorson, guys. As you can tell, grand time with him today. You can follow me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter. Send messages, whatever you like. Tweet at me and everything else. You know where to find Tom as well. So thank you guys for joining me on another episode of Comic Chronicle. And as always, guys, stay classy, Andromeda.